Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us.
The jail of jealousy and the guards of envy. The jail of jealousy and the guards of envy. So many people right now are locked up behind bars, literally, physically behind bars, because they were jealous of what that store owner had behind the counter. Mm-hmm. They were jealous of what that man had in his house, his wife, and they wanted her. They wanted what someone else had. They envied it. They wanted it. They took it. And then Romans 13, 1 through 5 comes down to them like a just river from the throne of God. Mm. And they get locked up in jail. And so you talk to them and you say, you know, why are you here? He says, well, they say, I mean, I spent 10 years in law enforcement. That's what people say. They go, this is what the majority of folks say that are behind bars. They're still, while they're behind bars, blaming other folks for how they got there. Mm. It is so tiring. Everybody, I mean, you just wait. When somebody finally breaks free from something, their first words out of their mouth will be justification that somebody else is their fault. Mm-hmm. And then they'll begin to talk. But you know what? You cannot give forgiveness until you can take ownership for your own stuff. Because you know, yeah. I murdered 17,300 people. I incinerated 15,000 babies. But my dad beat me when I was little. And it's okay, you killed all them folks. You know, what does that have to do?
How does that wash?
How did that? And the people go, oh, I understand why he killed a country. You know, it's like, no, you got to own that. You got to own that. And if you own it, God will forgive it. And jail of jealousy, and it's like, it's so old. When you're in guarding folks in law enforcement, you know, I would actually just bring them to the hotel and leave that and check them in. And but they would say, they say I'm in here for this, or they say I'm in here for this. You know, if this wouldn't have, if my wife wouldn't have, if my husband wouldn't have, if my parents wouldn't have. Yeah. VOP. Let's move on. We don't have enough time for that. It would take the rest of the year to finish that out. Violation of probation. Oh, you're going to shut me down, man. You're going to shut me down. Why did you leave law enforcement? VOP.
Yeah, all right.
VOP. What's that stands for? Disassociation from my own crimes. Mm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and that's the church, man. You know what I'm saying? And so here we are. And so what put them behind the bars? They were jealous. They wanted what someone else had. And you look at the definition of jealousy. It's feeling resentment against the man. Feeling resentment against the boss. Feeling resentment against someone because of that person's rivalry, success, advantage, stuff, things, whatever. Feeling resentment because of another's success or advantage, you know, characterized by or proceeding from suspicious fears and envious resentment. Mm. This is what happens when people get jealous. Like, what are you always talking? What's up with you? What is that spirit of jealousy flying around your head? What is that guard of envy keeping you, holding you back like that? Inclined to trouble. Troubled by suspicion and fears and rivalry. I mean, you're all upset inside, but you don't understand. That's a spirit of jealousy. Mm-hmm. That's a spirit of jealousy. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual dark things. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 6:12. And so in the context of that, that's a spirit of jealousy. And let me tell you what comes to the spirit of jealousy. Murder. Murder. If you don't deal with that spirit of jealousy, and you think, well, I'm not going to kill nobody. And this is exactly what the Word of God says. If you hate your brother, if you're jealous of your brother, if you're hating on them, that's murder.
That's right.
That's equal to murder. Is it not? Am I not?
No, that's right. That's right.
So you're murdering your brother. You're murdering your sister because you're jealous of them. Mm. And it's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to be a saint? Anyway, I'm just joking. Just let's move on. But the jealousy. And it's like, come on. Sometimes you can't even move anywhere. I remember my first act in ministry when I was asked to take on a particular ministry. This person comes up to me and says, oh, I'm so excited for you to be able to have this ministry. I'm thinking, like, first of all, when I was asked to do it, I'm thinking, are you sure?
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm from Third Street. I mean, do you really want me? You know, and of course, John Kilpatrick, Brother Kilpatrick, my spiritual father, kind of laughs at me. And he tells me he wants me to do it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why he wants me to do it. Mm-hmm. And but so all of a sudden somebody's going like, I want to help you. I'm like, well, this is so great. This is, I've already got a cheerleader here, you know, and I'm going to, and a long story short, I find out was this person wanted what I got, mm-hmm. which I didn't even ask for.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they wanted it so bad that they burned with jealousy and envy in their heart. And their mouth would run against me. And these things would happen. And it was just like, they would be publicly critical. And their heart would be critical. And also it's like, I thought you were my cheerleader. I thought you were helping me. I didn't want to take this in the first place. And another long story short, he died in his 30s.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Spent his whole life in that. And I was just, you know, I just didn't realize people envy folks. People want what you, people can be jealous of you. I mean, for example, you know, I'm sure Pat walks around going, I know people are looking at me and wishing they look like me.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's something.
John, I don't have that issue.
No, I don't have that issue.
Never crossed my mind.
It never crossed your mind. I saw it was written on your mirror in the thing.
Oh, my. They're going to believe stuff. Yeah,
No, it wasn't written on a mirror. It was a chalkboard. But this is the whole thing is that people that strive so hard to look well, quite often they're driven by a voice that says they don't.
Mm.
And no matter how much weight they lose, no matter what kind of they do to their body, they still feel like they don't. But because of that evil thing driving them to do that, darkness comes in and causes people to be jealous of that because they want that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the devil's having a field day over the whole situation instead of people just being at peace with who you are and what God's entrusted to you. And it's like the church is locked up right now. A lot of the church is locked up. Believers are locked up in this jail of jealousy, guarded by envy. I mean, there's even businesses called envy.
Mm.
That Christians say, I got a business. It's called envy. And it's like, it's like, don't wow. you just, and you, so then you have people going to these businesses and they go, man, I envy the fact that you got a chance to go to Envy. What are we doing? What are we doing? Of course, if you're not a believer, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, that understand if your business is called jealousy, it's probably not a good thing to do. You don't want to stir up hate, mm-hmm. right? That would be stirring up hate, yeah. hating on your brother. And so, but then you think about it, that he wanted what God gave me. That I didn't even ask for, and I did because I was asked to, and he was jealous. He wanted it,
mm-hmm.
And so it makes me think about when Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, man, and they were a lot like America, weren't they?
Oh my goodness!
And he's talking about it in Romans chapter 12. He says, verse 12, he says, the body, which is the body of Christ, is a unit, human body, though it's made up of many parts, though all the parts are many, they form one body.
Mm.
They form one body. For we were all baptized into one spirit, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. You think about it. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged you.
Mm.
God has arranged you. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And you think about that. How important is that, that when you're sitting here thinking, I don't like what I'm doing and I want to do something else, and you know, I want to be the preacher, I want to be the teacher, I want to be the singer. I mean, there's more jealousy and envy going on with that particular gift that's being stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, I don't know, you name it 10,000 different things. Instead of saying, you know what? The only reason I am anything is because God has put me here and mm-hmm. placed me here.
Right.
And the talents that he's given me, in the place he's put me here, and he's arranged me here. So for me to be discontented where I am and to be envious of where you are, then it's for me to be held captive by darkness and to be in rebellion against the arranger, mm-hmm. the supreme organizer of the body, right? Jesus Christ. And so envy would cause, and the thing about it then, so when all of a sudden the eye goes, because I'm not a hand, then I'm not a part of the body. That's a lie. And what happens is, now the body stops seeing because you didn't do your job.
Mm.
You didn't, and the body stops walking because all of a sudden you think you're a foot, and because you're not an eye, then you're not a part of the body. You are a part of the body, but now it ain't going nowhere because you're not walking. And somebody says, what is the church's problem? Did you ever think it's because you are jealous of everybody else's call and position when you're supposed to be doing what you're called to do? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about that? I mean, think about it. What if all the parts just functioned together?
Mm-hmm.
What if they all just started moving? It's like, this is who I am. I'm an eye. If you need to see something, come and get me. But I'm not a hand. Let me introduce you to the hand. I'm not a hand, but I'm an mm-hmm. eye. I'm not a foot. I'm an eye. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine all the parts functioning together as God has ordered them and orchestrated them. Imagine how powerful it will be. This is what he said in Ephesians chapter 4. He's given the fivefold ministry to be able to do that, to be able to train God's people up to function in our place, in our role. And we need to listen to the fivefold. We need to listen to the apostles and the prophets that are saying, do this, function here. This is what God is saying. And just enjoy that place and realize this is who I am. But I just sense in my spirit that God's speaking to me right now. We can't go nowhere in the church in America because the church is jealous of people like Donald Trump. They're jealous of people in politics. They're jealous of people in the church. Mm. They're jealous of people that are being blessed and financially blessed in their own gathering. It's like, get over it. Get down to the cross and say, you know what, God, you've called me to be a hand, and I'm going to be a hand. I will not be envious. I will not be jealous, and I renounce that over my life, and I submit myself to you in Jesus' name. So many people are in jail right this moment, right this very moment, and you can find out more on our previous program. The jail of jealousy and the guards of envy.
Mm.
I can't get to you. I can't get past the guards. What are the guards' name? Envy made envy. Mm. I am not envying. I'm just in turmoil right now. I'm in turmoil, and I don't want your position. I hate you, kind of like maybe, but I am praying for you.
Right.
And I don't mind being an eye. Go ahead and just give me another eye assignment. It's like, I want a hand assignment. You know, I want to sing. It's like, I know for a fact that Pat's not called to sing. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
Although he tried.
It's excruciating. It's excruciating. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, unless they're cranking up the orchestra really loud, as a matter of fact, I don't even know if, does anything ever come out when you're, it's like a silent worship. I'm trying to get, right?
Does the mouth move?
Where does peanut gallery come from?
A peanut
Say
gallery.
That again.
All right. It's like, you know, praise God from whom all blessings come. It's like this.
Right? Lip singing?
I don't know. Hey, we need to. He has a whole audience now looking over here. That was funny. But you never, sometimes you have to be careful if you love your brother enough. Sometimes you don't need to sing in his ear, right?
Oh. Even the proverb says if you bless someone early in the morning, they may not like it. So,
that's
hey.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that. And make a joyful noise before the Lord is also important as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is the Bible a banned book within a state penitentiary? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work at a juvenile institution for the state of California. I have always had my Bible on my desk, my personal Bible, and the chaplain has asked me to hand out materials for the students that request it. My supervisor has informed me that I must remove all the materials, including my personal Bible, and I'd like to know what my rights are concerning that.
Now I'm going to get you right over to our legal department at the American Center for Law and Justice, because inside of prisons throughout the United States, and that would include juvenile facilities, there are chaplains, and those chaplains have Bibles, and those chaplains give spiritual counsel. And inmates that are in custody are also encouraged and allowed to go to worship services that take place. So the idea that a Bible would be off limits in the workplace of a juvenile detention facility is just ridiculous. Hang on the line. We'll get our lawyers in touch with you right away.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. In the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. But, we're talking about the gel of jealousy. Believe it or not, it could boil down to one simple thing, how we could fix the confinement issue in America. We can fix the confinement issue in America, in the church and the physical confinement. Mm. That 90% of the youth sitting in prison today, 90% of the youth sitting in prison come from fatherless homes.
That's right.
If you talk to that kid, talk to him or her, and we've talked to a lot of them, and it's not in every case, but 90%, they would say, if they understood, they could see spiritually what's going on, and they could see that what the jails were jealousy, and that they could see the guards were envy, they would say, you know what? I would burn in my heart every night with envy, that I wish I had a father like, and they would, I wish, I was so jealous of that family because they had a mother and a father and, the whatever thing, and all the devil just played that up. Mm-hmm. And so in that comes what? Hate and murder and crime. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and so you get onto me for the fruit that actually came from, you never helped me or my father be a father. You never helped my parents be parents. You never, there's a lot to that. And so if 90% and 70, is it 75% of all prisoners, at least 75% of all prisoners right around that area come from fatherless homes. First of all, I just want to say, it's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. Hmm. Just having the male species inside your house does not mean things are going to be all well.
Mm. Don't get it twisted.
But if you're listening to the adversary, you know, about jealousy, then he's going to get you start comparing. And it's amazing how perfect a father is to you at a distance. And the thing about it, if he got close enough to you, he'd probably tell you to shut up, get a job, turn the lights off, and don't treat your mama like that.
That's right.
And so it's just fantasy. It's fantasy. The reality is you're going to answer alone before God, all by yourself. And he's a father to the fatherless. We can't say, well, this is the reason why I committed this crime. But understand this too. How is the world going to get free from jealousy when the church is held captive by the very same demon?
Mm-hmm.
You have pastors. Pastors. Who are looking at the pastor up the street. And because he's got a different texture on the outside of his building.
Mm.
Because he has different color carpet.
Got a new sign.
Got a new sign. Got a brand new sign.
A new podium.
A new podium.
Mm.
And he's jealous of that. Or she's jealous of that. And envious of that. And all of a sudden then he or she begins to preach against that. And then all of a sudden it's like, you just got taken down.
Yeah.
But then again, also, then you have someone who was in that same jealousy, and then they get the stuff. They get what they were jealous of, what they wanted. They did everything they can to get it. Power.
Mm.
Stucco. I don't know. Whatever it is. You know, in a theater near you. The and now, you know, that's not a church. That's a graven image. That's an idol to you.
Mm.
You know, and you take pride now. And what you were jealous of and what you thought was rightfully yours.
Mm.
And it's like, it's the gel of jealousy guarded by the guards of envy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not ushers. Those are guards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. I'm just talking to you now. I'm just saying, listen, we should not be in how many people sit and watch these live programs today where people go with their singing gifts and different talents, and you can watch them, and they look on the stage as people get applauded for their gift, and thousands upon thousands look with jealous envy, wanting that, and you have people marketing that, hoping that people will want it so bad that they'll lay down money for it, right?
Every day.
And it's like, this is not who we're supposed to be. This is not who we're supposed to be. And so if you're ready to be set free, if you're ready to be set free from the gel of jealousy, and break loose away from the guards of envy, you first got to say that you are. You got to say that I've been jealous. I've been wanting what he's got. I've been wanting what she's got. You know, I wanted their stuff. I wanted their life. I wanted a father like that. I wanted a wife like that. I wanted children like that. I wanted a car like that, a house like that, country like that, money like that, whatever. That was me. That's how evil it is, God. That's what I wanted. And then you say, God, I'm sorry. It's sin. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. God, forgive me for that. Forgive me for envying and being jealous of someone else's success or what I perceived was. And forgive me for that. Or forgive me for the envy in my life. And then you say, because God's forgiven you once you asked him, now it's time for you to break that stronghold over your life. Because you gave the devil authority, legal right to torment you now with envy and jealousy. Even though you're forgiven, you're still tormented by it.
Yeah.
He's forgiven you, but now you just can't stop being bumping against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like a wave just keeps hitting you. Where is this coming from? It's because you gave Satan legal right. Once you sin like that, you give him legal right. He has legal right to stand before God and show a contract that you signed with your own permission. You gave him authority to torment you like that. And he can go say, right here, see, they said it right here. God, you said if they actually do this, they become my slave. Whoever you obey is who you become a slave to. And so then you can say, now that you're forgiven because of Jesus, then you can say, I renounce all authority that I've given Lucifer. I renounce all authority that I gave Satan to be able to use this in my life. I bind the spirit of jealousy and envy, and I command you to go in Jesus' name, and I renounce all control and authority that you had over my life, and I break that legal right that I gave you, and I take it back in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He has no more legal right.
That's right.
And then break every soul tie, every curse, everything that's connected to that, and then walk free of it and realize that you don't want to do it again. and begin to bless those and be grateful for the blessings in people's lives. And understand, ever how you are, God's positioned you. Whether slave or free, Greek or Jew, I mean, understand we're just one body. We're mm-hmm. one people. And imagine the prison was just pour empty out.
Mm-hmm.
But what, you know, what guy who doesn't know God is going to say, this big, burly, 300-pound, roided man who's been trying to become something he's not, why is he going to say, man, I envied you all my life. I wanted to be you. When you've been seeing the opposite thing. You've been mm-hmm. seeing, like, you've been hating on me.
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking bad about me. You've been trying to take me down. You know, and he knows all that stuff was going on from his behavior. It's going to be real tough for him to humble himself outside of God and say, really, I was just jealous of you. And this is the difficult thing that for us to really get, that people can be taken down and they can be jealous of you whether you know it or not. So you don't just assume nobody, that there's nothing that God has given you that people don't want. I mean, you can be naive and you can be, you know, feeding into this frenzy by just ignoring the fact that you're waving this gift around, thinking like it's no big deal, or this whatever around, money or finance or mm-hmm. whatever, and you're stirring up carnal desires in people's hearts. You know, it's like, I don't know, you're singing, where you're going, you're like singing, and you know that person struggles and they want that kind of mm-hmm. place or whatever, and you, every time that you're just stirring it up,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or you walk around looking like, you know,
Adonis, you know, and
oh, wow.
flexing and
Adonis.
You know,
Jiminy.
World Atlas. People get the envious, you know. They say, wow, Pat, how do you do that? In fact, let me just confirm. No.
Wasn't that Hagar? You're quiet now. Anyway, so, you know we're joking. Everybody can see it on television.
This is
obviously
joking.
We're just joking.
Mm. Come on.
I guess we're envious. Lord, forgive us. No. Oh, look at that.
Oh, no. Okay, pride.
No. I'm not. I don't want. No, I'm fine. Fine. The understand, though, he's not going to do that outside of. That's why you got to preach the gospel to him. And by the way, you need to live the gospel before him and understand that if people struggle with envy and jealousy and that type of thing, you don't. I mean, titles don't mean squat.
Please.
It is so crazy. Titles.
Passing out
titles to people who struggle with envy and jealousy is like passing out crack at a crack house.
For real.
It's just like, I got to do this very carefully. These guys are addicted to titles, and it means so much more to somebody who struggles with jealousy and envy than it actually does to somebody that understands that leadership is a position to be, is a burden to bear.
That's a responsibility.
Yeah, there's
it comes
like,
with well, expectations.
It comes with expectations and the fear of God if it's in the church, to understand that God's going to hold you accountable for that.
No doubt.
And so this is a serious thing right now, because what you have is you have a Alinsky's children stirring, Lucifer stirring up jealousy, envy, strife, saying, you know, you deserve what they have.
Mm.
You know, that's your house. That's your car. That's your money. That's your, you know, and stirring this whole thing up. And it's stirring up that envy and the jealousy and the strife. And let me tell you something, church. Maybe it's happening that way in America because it was in the church before we even
got out
into the streets.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my car you're driving.
Yeah, they actually did. They had people, they were telling people, you know, to stand on the street and yell out, the car's passing by.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you're in my car, get out of my car or something,
crazy.
Give it back or something. And it's like that fueling that that jealousy aspect of it. And you're fueling hate.
Yeah.
Because it's the gel of jealousy. So they'll spend their life in confinement. And most of this is what really happens with the gel of jealousy. It's secret confinement. It's secret confinement that takes you out like the man who wanted what I was given and didn't even ask for until he gets snuffed out. And the only person that really knows what happened there is God. He knows that person burned with envy and jealousy because they wanted something that you had and you didn't even know it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
And I want to say this too before we go, that if you have not yet experienced the VFN Dream Center, you need to on the Gulf Coast, or maybe virtually. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org or vfmdreamcenter.org and come and experience every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Live on VFN TV, but also at 3 p.m. again, Central Time. And these are Central Times. Mm-hmm. The presence of the Lord was so powerful last Sunday. And so there's nothing like the presence of God. And that's all we want. We just want to be with God. We're so grateful that He wants to be with us. But you can do that. And you can find out more how to get there or how to connect to us virtually by going to vfndreamcenter.org and find out the details on the front. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And He's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet Him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet Him today, if you want to meet Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point, but rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Perspective matters in regards to family mm-hmm. values. And it matters. And when all these things are coming in against you and, you know, hard-pressed on every side is what Paul talks about, you know, perplexed at the point of despair, but somehow, by God's grace, you get through this thing or you're in the middle of it and He's keeping you in it. I want to encourage you to think about perspective, because perspective matters. The enemy's constantly wanting to change your perspective. Mm. He's wanting you to look at his storm, to look at his lie, to believe his lie. He wants you to believe it's hopeless when no matter what's going on, the Creator who's holding all things together, understand He can change it overnight. He can look at a yellow tree and just say, be blue, and it's going to be blue. You have to understand. Mm-hmm. And He can look at a fig tree and just say, die. Mm. And so understand, perspective matters. And it's sometimes there's a lot of wisdom and said, you know, let me soak on this. Mm. Let's just pause for a moment. Let me go just abide for a while. And what's happening is you're in the middle of a storm, or maybe even something exciting, but it comes either way. I mean, some more things come wrongly through looking like it's going to be good than bad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just a stimulus, just a sign here, you know. And just pause and soak on it and abide on it. And what happens is you're going to get perspective. Because when you start spending time with the Creator of the universe, when you spend time with the one that proved His love for you by giving His Son, when you spend time with the very one who gave His life for you and now sits at the right hand of the Creator of the universe, who, by the way, is talking to the Father God Himself for you and loves you so much, when you spend time with him and his spirit who's dwelling inside of you, when y'all spend time together, when you and the Trinity soak and spend time together, no matter, I don't care what's going on. I mean, even if you're in the midst of walking to, like, Polycarp, you're going to be burned at a stake, you know, take a knee. Take a knee and just pause. Even when you can't, just take a knee and just soak for a moment. See, you know, and what you want to do is it's going to change your perspective, because perspective matters. When you see the folks now, they're caught up in all these things that are happening at this one moment and all the little stuff being stirred up and this and little whatevers. And it's like, you know, if you don't get perspective, if you don't get perspective, because perspective matters, if you don't get the right perspective here, Lucifer's going to take some folks bondage, take some captivity. He's gonna, some nations are going to fall, and some dark ones are going to rise.
No doubt.
And so perspective matters. And it makes me think about Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, which helps you reboot your perspective. It helps you begin to say, you know, I want to get perspective. You know, all this news is 24 hours a day, 7 days. It was so great when the news used to come on for like an hour, you know.
And then turn off.
And if you shush folks for the news today, there's no talking, you know, because the news is 24/7 in the context of that. And, or, you know, just constant trying to change your perspective or mold your perspective or nudge your perspective. But I think about Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, when we're looking about perspective, how you see things. This is what the Word of God says. It says Christ is the image, is the visible image of the invisible God. Think about that. So the first perspective is, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you want to learn about the creator of the universe, you want to learn about the one who sits on the throne in the center of all creation, and Jesus is on the right hand up, because he, look at Jesus. Look what he did. Look what he said. Look how he walked. Look how he spent time with the Father. Look at all these things in his life. And he's like, man, you can understand the Father, because when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Christ is the visible image. He's the visible image of the invisible God. Invisible meaning God's a spirit. Jesus was a spirit, but he became, he took on the form of flesh here, being born of Mary. God is his Father. Woman is his mother, Mary. And he became all God and all man forever for us. He left the splendors of heaven for that, for us and for the Father. And so getting that perspective is like, we can really under, because he took on, he already was God, but he took on the form of us. And he's like the intercessor, the bridge, the connection between us and God. He is the gateway. He can explain us to God and God to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he was all, he's all God, but then he took on the form of man. So now he became all man and all God. And he chose not to use his God nature when he walked like we walk, being tempted in every way. And it's like, oh my goodness. He wanted to fill our infirmities and how we were buffeted on every side. But he did perfectly what we've always failed at. And now he can empathize with us and explain us to, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He understands God and he understands us. That's powerful, isn't it? Perspective.
Yeah.
That's why you want to know him. You don't want to know of him. You want to know him.
That's right.
How can you know God if you don't know the very one that was the intercessor between us and God? The one who was God, who came to earth to become like you, like a man, so he could actually explain you to God and God to you. And he's the only way to God. And then he goes on and says, he existed, this is Jesus, he existed before anything was created. Think about it. He existed before anything was created. So it means, okay, no matter what you're looking at and what all these evolution crew are saying and all that, they don't, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever they're talking about, he existed before that. You know what I'm saying? And so when you hear him talk about, let's make man in our image, he's talking to the Trinity here. He's talking to Jesus. He's talking to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth, right? And he's saying, let's make man in our own image and our own likeness. Not my image, but our. That's the Trinity. Behold, Israel, God is one. And so he existed before all creation. See, if you get your mind off of Jesus, and you get your mind off of God, and your perspectives about your paycheck and your union and your politics and your denomination and your family outside of God and all these things going on, it's like it's change your perspective. Perspective matters. And so then he goes on. He says, so not only was he exist before anything was created, he is supreme over all creation. Mm. So he's supreme. He's like that's why we called him the supreme organizer. Yeah, he's supreme over everything, not just the church, everything. Mm-hmm. That's huge. You're talking about supreme leader, Mr. Think You're Supreme Leader. Mm. Jesus is the supreme. That's why you hate him so much.
That's right.
That's why you hate him so much. He loves you, but you hate him because you think he's got your title. But the truth is you're trying to take his. It's been happening since heaven with the third of the angels organizing against.
Yeah. His very name terrifies you. That's why you can't mention his name.
That's right.
His name terrifies you.
Yes, that's exactly it. And by the way, he's not going to come back and apologize for calling himself the Son of God. Mm. You're going to apologize for saying that he wasn't, just so you know that. And he was created, and he is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything in heaven, in the heavenly realm, and on earth. I mean, think about it. Through Jesus. I mean, how in the world can you deny the very one that everything was created through him and he has supremacy over and he was before? I mean, oh my goodness, you're going to, change your perspective. Perspective matters. He says, for through him, God placed his supremacy over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. Mm. I mean, everything that you can see and everything that you can't see, God made. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might get your little microscope out and your microscope and all that, but it goes deeper than that. Mm. It's called spiritual. Mm. I mean, everything that was made, seen or unseen, God made. And by the way, everything that you see is going to pass away, but everything you don't see is eternal, including hell and heaven. Mm. And think about it. He made all the thrones, all the kingdoms, all the rulers, all the authorities in the unseen world. Mm. I mean, think about it. All authorities established by God, everything in the spiritual realm and the natural realm. I mean, he could take you out. He could stop you from. I mean, ask Herod, man. It could end in a moment, in the twinkling of a lack of a breath, with the crawling of the worm. Everything was created. I'm talking about perspective. Everything was created through him and, by the way, for him. He exists before anything else, and he holds all things together. How in the world do you not have time to abide with this God? I mean, think about it. You're acting like you're holding your life together.
Right.
What
could you possibly be doing that's more important?
Right. You act like you're holding your marriage together, your family together, your job together, your economy together, your political affiliation together, your nation together, your garden together, your house together. No, you're not. The one who's holding it all together, who created everything that is created out of and holding it all together, you're not even thinking it's worthwhile to spend time with. Hey, listen, he did all this, and he chose the very moment in time that you would live. He talks about it in Acts chapter 17. He's just watching you. He's watching you sleep. He's watching you walk. He's watching you wake up. He's watching you brush your teeth. He's watching you eat. He's watching you work. And he's watching everything you're doing. He's going like, will you reach out to me? Mm. Will you reach out to me? What's your perspective of me? Perspective matters. Do you know I exist? Do you know I'm the one giving you air to breathe? Do you understand who I am and how things were created? Will you acknowledge me? Listen, I tell you right now, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's because your perspective has changed. You need to get back to the perspective of God being who he is, creator of all things, over all things, holding all things together, and making intercession for those who are his. Perspective matters.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son, Jonathan. And he played, you know, football really well. I mean, he had to. He's you know, his dad.
Yeah. His dad. Dear Lord. No choice, Lord.
Help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
It's in the genes.
It's in the genes.
Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
And Jonathan to talk.
Yes. Talk. Even his dog has a Saints shirt. So
yes, he does.
He does. Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
You know, Jonathan and I were having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like, tilt. I'm like, okay, so. Do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal? How do you get a medal for humility, right?
And, right.
And Jerry and goes, my son it. Goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four. a word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
Is that something? Oh, my goodness. Today we want to be, for humility, Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm looking at what happened with Paul, and Paul in his ministry and as a Christian. And I'm looking at Acts chapter 16 when he was just doing ministry. He was just loving on people and helping them tell them about God. And there's this lady that just kept on following him. She was somebody that had the ability to discern spirits and this type of thing, and she was used by her owner, her master, that would make money on her, money making opportunity, and which, first of all, hello everybody, that means just because somebody can discern a spirit does not mean they're of God.
Catch a clue.
And so she's following him around going, hey, these guys are, you know, following Jesus, these are Jesus followers, this is Jesus, you know. And just began to, after a while, about 2 or 3 days, he's just like, you're getting on my nerves. And if you've ever been to Israel, I mean, the secret's out if you're talking like that, because it's not that big. And so finally, he turns around and he just delivers her from the spirit, you know, come out of her. And all of a sudden, she's not a moneymaker anymore. She cannot discern anymore. So what was that? That was a demon devil that had gotten itself on her. She was able to cooperate with, or vice versa, that somebody else was able to enslave or rule over or employ to make money on the whole scheme. And which means that pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going for a word. And so
Satan was able to be delivered and driven out of this woman. The devil was. And so a demon was. And so all of a sudden, now she had no more power. So her powers came from hell. It did not come from God. He says, you know, he says in the last days, many people are going to be deceived. It's because they're deceived by, because this person discerns things or miracles happen or something's going on, they automatically default. Oh, that's God.
Right. You know,
it's amazing. It's like, have you read anything? Anyway, so the guy that owns her or employs her is upset because he just lost his whole money-making thing.
Yeah.
And he creates all these lies and builds this whole thing up on Paul. And Donna and Teresa hopefully are going to, they've read this Book of Martyrs, I believe it is, it's something of nature, and share, but somebody served 8.5 years in prison, possibly in Iran, because of a lie. You know, we got people in America that won't serve 8 minutes behind a red light without being offended for 6 months. This guy served 8.5 years and still loved Jesus all the way through it when somebody lied on him. And so they're lying on Paul. Just like this guy that happened just recently. This is like in the '80s, and lied on Paul, and so they went and arrested Paul. They went and arrested him, and they beat him. They beat him. They didn't just, you know, you're gonna go to jail, go to booking. We're gonna get your attorney in the morning. They just beat the stew out of him. You think about it, and so here he is, you know, at the bottom, the very bottom of the prison. And like I said, the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten and severely flogged and put and thrown into prison because this one man, you know, he lost his money. And let me tell you something. People can say what they want to, but it's amazing how many decisions even Christians make. They say it's for God, but they don't tell you they're God's money. It's a money decision. It has nothing to do with Jehovah God. Our provider has to do with money. And this whole thing was being stirred up because the man lost his ability to make money. And but there's wisdom here. I mean, think about it. That first of all, we learn here that Paul was getting irritated by something. Deliverance is not always the thing. Just because you can, in the power of Jesus' name, can deliver somebody, that might not be what God wants you to do with that person. Because just because you can do it don't mean you should. And this is so important because so many people get so excited and they just start doing whatever. And it's like, wait, you need to listen to God. Because think about it. If he wouldn't have driven this demon out of this woman who wasn't even part of what was going on, really, she was just irritating him, then his ministry would have continued on. He picked a fight he shouldn't have picked. And now he's in jail. And I know men of God right now that are serving time because they picked a fight they shouldn't have picked. And the enemy used it to be able to take them down. And if Paul would not have driven this demon out, if he just dealt with his irritation that he was having because this woman was irritating him and realized, you know, just got to let that be and continue, he could have continued to minister on. So it makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner's vision when he writes about it in the book called The Torch and the Sword. That he's in this town and he has the sword, which is the word of God, but in the vision was a sword. And he was just so excited. It cuts to see how well it cuts or whatever. He just swung it and cut this tree down. And when he cut this tree down, it was like, wow, that's cool. But he didn't realize that it created a storm of demonic activity that he could not stop in this city, in this vision. And it began to bring destruction and division and discord and all this different stuff. And he couldn't put the tree back. And he just felt so bad because he realized that he, even though he could, didn't mean he should.
All right.
You know, you don't practice the power of God on people, you know?
No.
You don't just get irritated and start throwing things out that you shouldn't be saying. You should be abiding with God and operating in it. And he realized he felt so bad about that. But how many times do you see people like, I know what you just said is right, but the timing and the way that you used it and how you said that really is offensive to the kingdom of God. It's not really beneficial. And besides, now you're in prison and you've been flogged. You know, is that really good? And he possibly could have prevented it. But I got something else, some big encouraging aspect of this too, that when here they are in the bottom of the prison, I mean, imagine there's nobody nursing them. So their skin's ripped open by the beating and the flogging. And I mean, they could be offended, but they're not offended. And it's about midnight, and he and Silas are in the bottom of the prison about midnight, and they start singing. They just suddenly just start singing and praying and praising God. They're singing hymns.
Hmm.
A mighty fortress is our God. We'll be going like, get me attorney right now. You know, I mean, it's like, is that awesome?
Yeah.
They're just singing these awesome songs to God, and they're praising God. We get so caught up in things that are happening. It's like, I'm trying to hear God on this. Well, just do what he says. Just do what he says. Quit, you know, it's just, anyway, another story. So here they are. They're praying, praising God, singing hymns, where they're in shackles, and they're in those yokes, whatever you call those yokes, you know, leg irons, whatever. And all of a sudden, as they're singing, everything begins to shake and quake, and the whole jail cell begins to just rock. And all of a sudden, the chains fall off, and the door flings open to the cell, and they're free to go. God literally responded to praise. And realize, I want to encourage you that when you're in difficult times and you're in difficult situation, even if you caused it yourself, pause for a moment. Don't even think about the wounding. Don't think about what's done to you. Just begin to pray and praise God with all of your heart, and watch the bondage, watch the shackles, watch the prison cells of your emotion totally shake open by the power of God and be set free in Jesus' name.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Finders Keepers, a unique boutique with thrift shop prices where you can find anything from furniture, clothes, jewelry, and so much more. Visit Mary today in Pensacola on Gulf Beach Highway and get you a great find today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.